Protection Committee will come to order. It is Wednesday, April 18th, 2007. We were scheduled to meet at 12 o'clock. I hope that interested parties did get notice. It was very short notice, and I apologize for that, but we've got till 1 o'clock when we're expected back on the floor. And we will have the reintroduced version of Senator Clark's Senate File 2173, which is different than it appeared before us a few weeks ago. We're not taking more testimony on that, though, members. Senator Chaudhry is going to go first because I think his bill should be relatively easy. I was surprised to see it come before us. Senator Chaudhry, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and we appreciate you taking the time to hear this. It's heard at the last minute in the Environment Committee. If it did pass unanimously without controversy, this Senate File 1764 seeks to establish planning for the promotion of ecotourism within Minnesota. Ecotourism refers to the responsible travel to natural areas that serve the environment and improve the welfare of local people. We think that through this bill we can improve the commerce in Minnesota, but the environment at the same time. As the largest business sector in the world economy, tourism employs 200 million people. If tourism were a country, it would have the second largest economy surpassed only by the United States. In 2004, ecotourism was growing globally 3 times faster than the tourism industry as a whole. And more than 2/3 of U.S. and Australian travelers and 90% of British tourists consider active protection of the environment, including support of local communities, to be part of a hotel's responsibility. In fact, in another survey, the same group said that 70% would pay up to $150 more for a stay in a hotel with a responsible environmental attitude. Why are the opinions of Europeans and Australians important? Because $93 billion are spent by international visitors in the U.S. In the United States, it's estimated that ecotourism, including eco-travel networks, green tourism, eco-volunteering trips, sports trip programming, and environmentally responsible tourism are amongst the fastest growing travel trends. They are estimated to be $77 billion market. Recreational visits in national parks have reached almost $277 million, up from $220 in the 1980s. In Minnesota, there are 8 million visits to Minnesota's parks in greater Minnesota alone, and 32 million visits to parks in the metropolitan area. It's clear that the environment matters to tourists, and I should mention that tourism has recently surpassed agriculture as Minnesota's greatest gross domestic product. In fact, and I don't have specific studies here, but even in rural Minnesota, the impact has been, the dollar impact on a community has been quantified for every acre preserved from agriculture and saved for hunting, for example. My recollection is approximately $150 is contributed to the local economy for every 1 acre preserved. And just finally, Madam Chair, more than 3/4 of U.S. travelers feel it is important their business not damage the environment in a 2003 study. 55 million U.S. travelers are classified as geotourists or interested in nature. And over half of U.S. travelers say it's important that they learn about even other cultures. So their statistics can go on and on. This bill simply seeks to begin planning for an ecotourism program. Of course, Minnesota, with all its natural resources, we are completely dependent upon Minnesota's natural resources for our tourism around a third to a half of Minnesota's tourism depends on the Mall of America. The rest of it depends on Minnesota's natural resources and our outdoors. So it's a very precious commodity, and we are just simply seeking a way to provide incentives to Minnesota resorts or other entities to establish positive environmental practices, so that we can not only improve tourism but improve Minnesota's commerce, our local businesses, and our environment at the same time.
Senator Shadi, I'm fascinated. Otherwise, I would have interrupted you sooner, because I'm not really sure why the bill came to us, other than it does talk about Minnesota business, but we generally don't even get into those kind of
Madam Chair, I think it's because this bill deals with the Explore Minnesota Tourism Department.
And Senator Shadi, I don't think they're part of us, but that's all right, because I think it's a totally cool bill.
Okay.
And so
I should also add,
without giving my opinion or anything,
I should also add that this language was developed with Explore Minnesota, and there is no cost to the bill.
So, are there any questions? Yes. It has to go to the Rules Committee, right, Senator Shadi? Senator Metzen, do you think it needs to come to you?
Well, our office is responsible for referring these bills. Why did they send it here? It should have, but it's all right. I mean, I don't.
Well, it's been someplace else, right? It must have been an environment committee, right?
It was an environment. We felt it was a commerce issue. It dealt with a policy relating to Explore Minnesota Department, and felt it was
And clearly it will have an impact on this issue will have an impact on commerce increasingly in the future as well.
And business.
It is interesting, Madam Chair, that you mentioned that, because usually the tourism stuff deals with the dollars and the Economic Development Finance Committee. But how often do we deal with, commerce, real commerce policy? So this is kind of a unique thing.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I guess my only comment was that I would be really privileged if I could move the bill.
Senator Olson moves that Senate File 1764 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Rules Committee on Rules, I think it's called.
Oh, you know what? They want you to send it to the floor and it automatically goes to Rules.
If we send it to the floor, it automatically?
A memo on that or something.
Yeah. Is that?
We got a memo that you're not supposed to make the
motion. Okay, we won't move it to Rules. We'll just move it to it'll just go to the floor, but it will automatically then be re-referred to Rules. Yeah. Okay. So, Senator Olson, I'm sorry, I modify her amendment. Is there any further discussion? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the legislation? Welcome. Briefly.
Madam Chair, thank you. My name is John Edmond. I'm Director of Explore Minnesota Tourism, and I don't want to take much of your time, but just let you know that I have discussed this with Senator Shadi some time ago. The concept is simply linking consumers that are looking for businesses that are friendly towards the environment together. My job is to promote Minnesota tourism, and I am supportive of the concept of this bill. There's no dollars attached, and we stand ready to do everything we can to make this become a reality.
So,
that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Edmond. On Senator Olson's motion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Shadi, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Clark is Senator Clark.
Outside a minute ago. Sparks is going to try again for his.
Senator Clark, we're ready.
Double day.
On Senate File 2173, which, and while I did announce that there would not be testimony, I certainly would like to give you the opportunity to explain your bill, because we did have significant testimony pro and con the first time around, but now the bill is different.
Sounds good, Madam Chair, and I think somebody has a
my copy of my bill, so let me just grab a copy of the bill. Right.
And members should have the first engrossment. Do we have that?
Yeah.
And the Madam Chair and members, the bill is in a different shape than when you last saw it, in that you may recall there were two components. One was the good faith provision, and the other was direct action. The direct action is not in this bill that's in front of you. There was also a reporting provision, and that is not in there as well. But essentially, the bill is trying to make sure that, you know, let's face it, in most situations, people are acting in good faith. But right now, under our current law, there is no consequences if somebody does either acts in bad faith or a mistake is made or something else. It's actually rather unusual in state law that we don't have some kind of a consequence. So essentially, the provision that is in here is setting that up, and that's basically what we're doing under Subdivision 1. Subdivision 2, obviously, have some very vocal people out there. Subdivision 2 is the penalty and remedies, and there is a limitation in that it's for the cost, damages, and reasonable attorney's fees. It is not more than that. And you may recall that the bill does not include workers' comp or health care. And I think that pretty much covers at this point what is in here. And the liability under Subdivision 3 is also limited. And if there are questions, I certainly can take questions. I understand, Madam Chair, that you've got an amendment.
And Senator Clark, I think you have received a copy of my report. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schneid.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for indulging me, members.
Which one?
Members of the committee know that, you know, I have had a negative reaction to the bill. I'm practicing understatement today. And so, but I'm fairly convinced that the bill is probably going to be moving. And I think, therefore, that it should move forward in a way that does, I guess I want to say, how it's been presented, if you will, Mr. Chairman and Senator Clark. I know we had testimony on this particular bill in the Judiciary Committee on Friday, and I think that there's not a complete understanding of exactly what the bill does. So I'm going to move the A4 amendment and then explain it. And I think as I explain the amendment, it will explain my concerns about the bill, but also I think make it do what the proponents have said it does. We had quite a discussion, particularly in the Judiciary Committee, about the fact that we do have third party good faith or bad faith law, common law in Minnesota. So that as to a third party, not the insured, but the injured person that the insured may have harmed, has a cause of action against, in current law, court-made law, has a cause of action against the insurance company of the insured. So I think that it makes clear, and you will see 1.2, page 1, line 2, of the amendment takes you to line 7, and it says that after A, insert and insureds at the end of that sentence on line 1.7. So delete the word A as opposed to the letter. Delete the word A and insert an insurance. So it will read, an insurer shall act in good faith involving an insurance claim, meaning the first party, the person who paid the insurance premium. Because we've agreed, I think, that, Senator Clark, that we already have third party. So this would be first party. Then, in my amendment, line 1.3 of the amendment, delete lines 9 through 13, and then insert instead, an insurer does not act in good faith if the insured can show, one, the absence of a reasonable basis for denying the benefits of the insurance policy, and it's a two-prong test here, and the insurer's knowledge or reckless disregard of the lack of a reasonable basis for denying a claim. I know we had conversation about what other states have. I think Mr. Flegel said in our first committee hearing that 11 states have adopted statutes. It's some 35 states have common law or court-made law. Many of them have adopted what is the Wisconsin Anderson case standard, and this is that standard. One of the concerns about the bill as it is that on line 1.10 of the bill, objectively reasonable is really a negligence standard. I want something higher than negligence, just sheer negligence here. That could be a secretary misplacing, well, I don't like to blame secretaries. It could be the boss misplacing the claim, getting, I don't think we want to have the threshold so low. I think it ought to be where the insurer knows that there's no reasonable basis and they act in reckless disregard. That is the standard in many, many states, and actually it's in my folder here, how many states have adopted that two-prong test. But that is the Anderson case from Wisconsin that was cited by the proponents of this legislation in the first place. So it's true, Wisconsin does have this court-made law, and that is the test. There's a reasonable basis. There's no reasonable basis for denying it. The insurer knows it, or they just disregard that lack of a reasonable basis. Then on the amendment, page 1, line 16, after the word than, you would insert the small letter I. And I don't know, that seems sort of technical here. So what I want to do is line 111, excuse me, yeah, 1.11 of the amendment, page 1, line 18, insure three little I's and insurance. This is what is excluded from coverage or from application of the bad faith or good faith statutes. An insurance contract authorized under section 60A.06, subdivision 1, clause 4. And now I need to look at my other notes to tell you, and I have it, to tell you, as Senate counsel, you can tell me what I'm doing there, but I do know, I really do. I think that includes long-term care.
Mr. Stang?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shedd, I believe that's life insurance and annuity contract.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that would take life and annuities. Long-term care is already out under the terms of the bill because the language 62A.011 has a reference within it to long-term care. So long-term care is already out. My amendment doesn't do that. It's just taking out life and annuities. I think there's not been evidence shown that there's problems there. The evidence that's been brought forth has had to do with property and casualty. And so this would narrow then the scope of that. Then, going to page 2 of the bill, instead of on line 2.1, instead of saying a person violating sub 1, we would say an insurer, because that is who we're talking about here. And that just makes it more clear. It's the insurance company, an insurer violating subdivision 1 is acting against the public interest. And here comes the next piece of that on line 2. Delete injured party and put insured. And is liable to the insured. This is first party. Again, rather than just any injured party, because we agreed. And I don't think we had the discussion in this committee members about third party, but we did in judiciary. And it's established law in Minnesota that the third party does have a bad faith cause of action against the insurance party. So this would be An insurer violating this subdivision is acting against the public interest and is liable to the insured, their insured, the person paying that premium, for costs, and I have asked to insert actual damages and reasonable attorney fees. And I left attorney fees in there, which is contrary to my personal wish, but I think it's reasonable here. And so I've asked, though, for actual damages. As opposed to, Mr. Stang perhaps could help me, Mr. Chairman, would that be things like pain and suffering and would be outside of actual damages?
Mr. Stang.
Madam Chair, I don't think it would include punitive damages, for example.
Okay.
Then
I don't think I change any more language in the existing bill, but I do offer a right to cure. And members of this committee, well, not this year, but last year we had, I'm going to liken it to the notice of opportunity to repair for home builders. I think that if what the proponents are saying is true, that they want to reduce lawsuits, then we ought to give the insurance company the opportunity to prevent there being a lawsuit, which will save its premium payers, which is all of us and all of your constituents, to save them the money that come out of increased lawsuits. Give them a right to cure. It's 60 days. I don't know that you need me to read that, but you'll understand. And Florida was one of the states cited in the Judiciary Committee as a state we should follow on Friday in Judiciary. And this is the law in Florida. They do have that right to cure, and Massachusetts also does have that. Those are the two states that I know of that have it. Mr. Chairman, that's the amendment, and I think it pretty much resolves difficulties I have with the bill, and I think it's reasonable and responsible and is good for consumers and insured persons.
Thank you, Senator Scheid. Further discussion on the aforementioned. Senator Clark. Senator Olson. You want Clark?
I'd just like to go through, Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, and respond to the comments made by Senator Scheid, because I'm very familiar with this, I guess, area of the law, just having worked in it for many years. And I appreciate Senator Scheid's effort to work through this and look for language that I certainly don't doubt her desire to work on the bill in a way that she believes will make it more fair. But I have to say, coming from the side of the consumer or the insurer, that there are some ramifications that I'm not sure that she's considered in terms of the changes she's proposing. What we discussed in Judiciary is the fact that the law already recognizes a third-party claim, a right for bad faith in a third-party situation. And I don't want to go into a long discussion of that unless any of the other members have any questions about the difference between third party and first party. But my concern is that since we already have third party recognized under existing law, that if we were to make these changes, which I don't disagree with. In fact, honestly, Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, it might even be better to state that we're not including the third-party claims here, because actually under common law we have more expansive remedies than we have provided. The remedies in this bill are pretty limited for first-party bad faith, and it's possible that the court might say that if we've addressed the third-party situation and we've provided the remedies, that we've limited the remedies that are already there under common law. But I think if we're going to do that, we have to make it clear that we're not intending to impact those third-party bad faith claims that we already recognize under existing law, because otherwise the courts could look at this and read it to say, well, now they've addressed this issue and they didn't include third-party claims, so somehow maybe they intended to take that out of the law. So if we were going to make these changes, I think we would need to add language that says that nothing in this section shall be interpreted to in any way impact remedies that are also for bad faith that are already recognized either in common law or in statute elsewhere, something like that. So that's with respect to that point. In terms of the issue of the reason going on about the 1.5 through 1.8 and changing the standard, I would only say that an insurer under our existing law that lays out under the Unfair Claims Practices Act what an insurance company is supposed to do puts the burden on the insurance adjuster to investigate a claim and to be aware of the basis of aspects regarding the claim. And if we adopt this standard, we're now changing the burden to the insured person to have to prove something, or to we're shifting the burden to that person. And so I guess that would be something that my only comment with respect to that. In terms of the taking out the life insurance and annuities, I guess I would have to say that I think that's a really bad idea. I mean, even though we haven't had someone come here and specifically talk about this, prolonging or denying life insurance benefits, I would just have to say from personal experience, can be a really big problem. And when you have people who are at a particularly vulnerable time in their life dealing with insurance companies to get life insurance, they're certainly not these are not the people we would want to carve out of this type of protection. And these are the most cut and dry claims for insurance companies to deal with. And so the fact that we would allow them to deny or delay benefit, there's really no justification. There's very little investigation that has to be made in these types of situations. So I would certainly urge the members not to adopt that portion. And then finally, with respect to the right to cure portion, one of the things that we've heard testified to is that somehow this is a scheme on the part of trial lawyers to try to charge more money or get more money from claims. And honestly, this addition is going to drive people to have an attorney and pay a third of the money that would be available under their policy by having to go through some very formulistic right to cure requirements that really are only going to be able to be done by an attorney. It's going to mean that the insurance company doesn't have to deal in good faith with its insured until that person goes and hires an attorney and then has the attorney draft a letter that's going to meet all these requirements. And it seems to me that our goal as committee members here ought to be to find a way to save money for the consumers and not take it away from the consumers and give it to lawyers, which is what I believe this provision will do. The thing about the Florida law is that under Florida law, there is a much more significant penalty for the insurance company than we have proposed here if an insurance company acts in bad faith. And the difference is, let's say that you have terribly horrendous damages and you're in a wheelchair and you only have a $30,000 policy, which is all that's required under Minnesota law right now. If the insurance company delays payment and acts in bad faith under Florida law, that premium cap no longer applies. And whatever you can prove your damages are, if they're $1 million, you get to collect $1 million. So they have a much bigger damages awarded under Florida law than is proposed under this law. We have a very limited damages. We're only allowing people, because they wouldn't have had $1 million policy, they're not going to be able to get those damages. It's only recovery of their attorney's fees, damages, and damages that are actually caused by the delay. So we don't have a busting the cap type of provision. The reason this right to cure is in Florida law is because they have that severe remedy, so they give the insurance industry this extra 60 days to avoid that penalty. But we don't have that in Minnesota law, so I think it's really unnecessary, and I think it would do the harm of requiring someone to have to get an attorney before the insurance company is going to look seriously at their claim.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to get Senator Clark's response, obviously, but I would want to say First of all, on some of the points that Senator Olson has made, I think it's perfectly fine to add language clarifying that this is not intended to change third-party situations or actions. So I think, and I don't know if Mr. Stang has some language, but I certainly think that. I don't know if you said, Senator Olson, that there was evidence that there's been a problem with life and annuities. You mentioned something about it. That's a terrible time to have that problem. I thought you said, though, that there wasn't a problem. We certainly have not had anybody who testified either in this committee on the original bill or in judiciary that it was had damages because of life or annuity contracts. So I'm going to ask her to clarify that. And then I would like to ask Mr. Stang, and I suppose we might have an argument here about what on line 2.2 of the of the bill, where I have actual damages. I think that that would cover what Senator Olson's last concern was, but maybe it doesn't, and so I'm willing to be educated on that. But may I, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Senator Olson to respond, and then I think we need to have.
Yeah, Senator Olson, real briefly, and then I apologize, too. We should let Senator Clark respond, and then if we can take some further action. To that point, Senator Olson?
Well, just in terms of the actual damages, normally, again, I don't know if I can respond to this really quickly, but if we are going to have the knowledgeable or reckless disregard for denying a claim, then under the right circumstances where it rises to the level of gross or malicious action, usually there would be a remedy for punitive damages that would be prohibited by the actual damages language. And the other thing is that you don't get pain and suffering for this type of thing normally anyway unless it was so severe that it caused some type of physical injury. And so I don't really think that that actual damages language is going to cause the pain and suffering to be compensable, Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, in any case. But it would foreclose the possibility of punitive damages under the situations where the law would normally recognize them to be appropriate.
Senator Scheid. Senator Clark, to the A4 amendment.
Well, thank you. I do, Senator Scheid, for trying to work on this. I know this is a bill that you're very uncomfortable with, so I appreciate that. I guess a few different thoughts. Senator Olson has already said. I do think that if we're going to be making changes on line 1.2, that we do want to have clarifying language that we're not precluding the third-party actions. And I just think it's important to clarify that. I think that what you're doing is just fine in there, but I think a simple sentence in the right place, and Mr. Stang can help us figure that out. The Anderson case has both knowledge or reckless disregard, and I think that it isn't just reckless disregard. It is also knowledge. So certainly if the claimant has presented information, they have knowledge, and I just think that's important for the record because I think sometimes the Anderson case has only been talked about in terms of reckless disregard. So I think if it's the committee's will, putting that in should not be a problem. I do want to clarify that long-term care is not excluded from this bill. Under 62.011, it's specifically in the list. So it's not health plan carrier. We had talked with the health plans about this. I've got the statute here. If you want me to look at the list, long-term care would still be under this. And I do think it's important, having done a lot of work with seniors, there are issues within with life insurance. There are issues when somebody has died, and it's often difficult for the remaining spouse. There's a lot of potential problems there. So I would prefer that we didn't modify that part. I do have concerns about the actual. Oh, wait, before we get there, what I believe you're putting is the Anderson test. I think the other piece that we would still want to have from the bill is starting on point 1.10 with Ann, right after the period, through point 1.13, 1.13, is keeping that you don't act, if they're not acting in good faith, if they've engaged in fraud, false pretense, misrepresentation. I mean, I think it's important to keep that piece. Those are pretty major things that it would seem odd that we would get rid of. So I have some concerns about the word actual in there. The other thing is that I guess I would ask, and if you decide to go forward with this right now, I would still want to work with you, Senator Scheid, on this. I don't have a personal issue with the right to cure. I just don't think that this is complete here, and we would need some time to work out what that would really look like. As Senator Olson said, the Florida statute has some other provisions that are not included here. So while the concept of affording a right to cure, if they are just dragging it out, my concern would be that you've got an insured that could end up being put in a more untenable situation. So I think we could take a look more broadly at what Florida does, and that could be something we could work on between here and the floor. But I think the concept that you're trying to get in there is certainly an understandable one.
Senator Scheid.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask, first of all, if I don't know if Senator Olson is going to offer an amendment for that clarifying language. I know we need to move. I'm, you know, fairly comfortable offering the amendment, the A4 amendment, and we can continue to converse about this as we go. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I should ask, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Senator Clark if there is a companion to this bill.
Senator Clark?
Mr. Chair, yes, actually it is in the House Public Safety Bill, which passed last night.
Senator Scheid.
It's Public Safety and Judiciary. They put the two together.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I thought Scheid, that was the companion to your other bill, because it passed with direct action. It passed as...
Everything
Senator
is in
Clark.
There, but Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, the good faith provision is still there, and we would be putting... as long as the Senate has a position, that can be in play in conference committee.
Senator Scheid.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I definitely, and I think many of the members of the committee were very uncomfortable with the direct action piece, and that is in the other body's omnibus bill. And I think that the Senate should have a pretty strong position from which then we can negotiate, perhaps, not to go toward direct action, but on some of these other items. But I would like to know, I'd be interested in the language that Senator, and maybe you can ask Senator Olson if she's got some language to offer us on that.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, what I'd like to do at this time before we vote on Senator Scheid's amendment is I'd like to offer, based on what Senator Clark has said in terms of what she feels comfortable with and what she doesn't, and giving deference to what Senator Scheid has said, I'd like to offer an amendment to Senator Scheid's amendment that would delete everything after line 1.8, so it would make it clear that this is just applying to first parties only, and it would adopt the Anderson standard, but it does not then eliminate life insurance or include the actual damages so that there couldn't be punitive damages under the right circumstances. And then it takes out the right to cure, which, again, it sounds like Senator Clark would be willing to work with Senator Scheid. If there's something more that would put the whole part of the Florida standard back into this, then we would, you know, be able to introduce that on the floor. So my amendment would be to eliminate everything after line 0.18 and then to add language making it clear this doesn't take away the third-party rights we now have, consistent with what counsel just read to me, that proposal that was read.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if Senator Olson, however, means to take away of my A4 amendment, lines 1.13, where we say an insurer, and on 2.1 of the bill, and 2.2, where we change injured party to insured.
Oh.
Could we leave that part of the...
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, you're correct that we would want to leave those to conform with the other changes that were made.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, and that would take away actual damages. So that's kind of on the same line of the amendment, but you intend to take out the word actual from my amendment, and that I'm actually not going to argue with you about that. I just wanted to make sure that's what you're doing. So,
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, that would be correct.
And then, Mr. Chair, I'd like to divide, if we can divide here,
I feel really strongly about keeping the right to cure at this point, with the idea that what we're trying to do here is reduce lawsuits. That was named as the reason for the bill, one of the major reasons for the bill. And I want to continue to have that conversation, and of course I will.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I know that that's what you're attempting to do, and I don't doubt that's your motive. But just having worked in this area, my concern with this language is that it will require someone to get an attorney and pay attorney's fees before the insurance company is put on notice that they have to act in good faith when they're supposed to already have that standard in place from the very get-go. And so I don't want to require an insured to have to pay insurance pay attorney's fees, and I think that leaving this in here is what will happen
Mr. Chairman, can Senator Mr. Stang advise me? Mr. Chairman, can Mr. Stang advise me? Can we divide this at that
Mr.
point?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I believe we can. I think the right to cure section could be voted on separately from the other deletions from the amendment that okay. Senator Olson has proposed.
And
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I'd be happy to amend my motion so that we vote on those issues separately.
Senator Solon to that point? Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Scheid or Senator Clark, so far we've had discussions just among attorneys. I need some questions answered. I'm not sure what this means, to take out the injured party and put in the insured. Does that mean then, in very practical terms, that if a wife is in an accident with her husband, or her husband is the insured, that she then has to sue her husband in order to get compensation for those injuries?
Mr. Chairman, that can happen with or without this bill. That does happen, and that's a matter of liability. And
Mr. Chair,
Senator Sol.
Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, and Senator Scheid, I thought that was the testimony we heard before, that would correct that type of action.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, it was given as testimony, but it would not do away with all of those type of suits.
That's Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pretner Solon. That was the direct action portion that we heard testimony on before. If that were still in the bill, then it would have cured that situation. But because it's been taken out of the bill, it's still a situation where you would have to go against the party. And so this reference is different, refers to something different.
Senator Pretner-Solon.
So, Mr. Chair, then I would like somebody in very practical terms to tell me what the difference will be if we pass this bill. I mean, really practical terms. What the difference will be if we pass this bill as opposed to not passing the bill.
Senator Clark, Senator Scheid.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I just might say, and then I'll let Senator Clark, it's her bill, obviously. If you we're on the amendment, and so I think it's appropriate to speak to the amendment. And if we're on the amendment, I think you will have fewer lawsuits than if you pass it without it. That's my opinion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson.
If I could try to just very quickly, okay. Basically, right now, the difference between we have situations right now where we have third-party situations are the typical situations where when one person causes an accident to another, if the insurance company who insures the person who causes the accident acts in bad faith, then we have recourse under the law for the damages that are caused to the person who's been injured. In fact, we have significantly more damages in those situations than are proposed in the first party situation here. A first party situation.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Pretner Solon.
Sorry. You need to stop using recourse and first party.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
I'll try
Olson,
again.
Break it down for us.
Okay. I usually, when I deal with these things, explaining to them in my office, I have a chalkboard and I use chalk and I draw circles. But basically, when someone is hurt by a bad guy is maybe not really bad. That's my language. But someone who causes an accident, well, I'll just, for purposes of illustration, call him the bad guy. When the bad guy hurts someone, the bad guy's insurance company has to act in good faith to pay that claim, to do the things that are already prescribed under the law. Otherwise, there's going to be a penalty they'll have to pay for the what happens because they didn't act in good faith. But in a first party situation means the person who's hurt has been injured by someone who probably didn't have insurance, so they have to go to their own insurance company. You have what's called uninsured coverage when you're dealing with your own insurance company. Or it could be a life insurance policy where it's directly between you and your insurance company, or a fire policy. Or it could be a situation where the person who caused the accident, you have $1 million worth of damages, and they pay their part, but you have underinsured coverage through your own policy. What this does is just say that the insurance company has the same good faith obligation as they do in those third-party cases, and you can hold them accountable when you have to pay insurance fees or have other damages to get them to do what they were supposed to do under the contract you had with them, so that it becomes the insurance company's responsibility to pay for the losses caused when they act in bad faith instead of that burden falling to the person who has the insurance.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, are you trying to tell me that if somebody is injured by somebody who doesn't have insurance, that party has difficulty getting coverage from their own insurance company?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Prettner-Solin, that's exactly right, and that's what this bill is designed to get at, because typically what will happen in those, I shouldn't say typically, but what far too often happens in those situations is the insurance company has nothing to lose by delaying, stalling, and trying to get you to take less in cases where it's clear. This only applies in cases where there isn't a legitimate argument over how much they should pay or a legitimate argument over who is at fault. But in those cases, when they delay, this says then if you have to hire an attorney and go after them, they'll have to pay for that instead of you.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
So then, Mr. Chair, in reference to the amendment then, so if you take out actual damages, or you only have actual damages, how does that change anything?
Senator Olson?
Senator Prettner-Solin, there are certain circumstances where conduct is so egregious that under the normal law, and only when under these really egregious set of circumstances, we allow punitive damages to kind of punish for bad conduct. And if this situation would rise to that level that was really bad under our existing law, you would then be able to get the punitive damages just like you can with other violations similar than this. If we limit it to actual damages, then we're going to be changing the standard that normally applies in situations that would be similar and not allowing damages of that type in those kinds of cases.
Member Senator Clark,
I'm
just
sorry,
want
just
to remind the committee that we have about 10 minutes before
I just
we need
wanted
to get
to
back
ask
up
a clarifying
to the floor.
Question, mm-hmm. And this probably goes back to Senator Scheid.
Senator Clark.
The way your amendment, as divided on the top part as amended by,
that's,
or
that's
attempted to be
you.
Amended by Senator Olson, I just wanted to make sure that, I wanted to clarify, I thought I heard you say that we would still be keeping in the bill lines, it's essentially the 1.11 through 1.13. That, to me, it would make sense that right now on line 1.3, it says delete lines 9 to 13. It would seem like we delete lines 9 and everything up to the period in line 10, and then you would have inserted the Anderson, or the language you have here, but we would still keep the part that had the fraud, misrepresentation, et cetera. That's what I'm trying to clarify. Is that what you were going after?
Senator Clark, I don't think that's what she meant, but let's try to...
That was one of the things that I raised,
right.
So I knew she was trying to address
okay.
that. So,
Mr. Chairman, and maybe Mr. Stain...
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, maybe Mr. Stain could tell us what we have. We do need to vote, members, and I know that people may still have some questions, but... You know, we have a time limitation. We did have a considerable hearing on this issue and these arguments several weeks ago. So I think members can actually make an informed decision here. And but if Mr. Stang would tell us what her amendment to my amendment does.
Mr. Stang, good luck.
Good luck. Mr. Chairman, Senator Scheid, I thought that Senator Olson talked about deleting language after 1.8, which would leave in your new standard for the good faith claim. It sounds like Senator Clark doesn't agree with that necessarily. And then you had talked about splitting Senator Olson's amendment into two votes, one which would just remove the right to cure from your amendment, and the other removing the language that sets up the exclusion for life insurance contracts and getting rid of the limitation on damages that they have to be actual damages.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
And Mr. Chairman, and then I think sorry for the confusion, but I think we want to keep line 113 and 114 as well, and I thought that Senator Olson agreed she would do that.
So that's correct.
So we would be deleting 1.9 through 1.12 on my A4 amendment, and we would be deleting on line 1.14 the words "and before damages." Delete 1.15, and then I ask for the split. Am I correct?
Mr. Chair, Madam Scheid, that's correct, except that then we would also be adding the language, making it clear that we're keeping third-party claims as counsel read it.
Yes.
Senator Clark.
I understand on that.
Members?
Going to move on the Olson? Yeah, let's move
Olson
on.
Motion right. First to delete 1.19.1.
The whole her amendment.
Okay. I think the first part of the Olson motion is to delete lines 9 through 12 of the A4, and on line 14 of the A4, delete "and before damages," and delete line 15 of the A4. That would be the first part of the motion.
Further discussion on the Olson amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
The amendment is adopted. Senator Scheid.
Division, Linda?
Linda?
That's fine if you want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Division has been requested. All those in favor, please raise their hand. The amendment is not adopted.
We ask for opposed.
Oh, and opposed. Five, five tie. The amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Scheid.
Then I'd renew my motion to approve the A4 amendment. But I would like to include the language that Mr. Stang.
Mr. Chairman, did the committee want to vote on the other half of Senator Olson's motion, which was delete the right to cure?
Want to?
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
At this point, I think everyone sounds like they've kind of made their decision on this. Unless anyone wants to have that vote, we could just go ahead and vote it up or down, I would think.
Mr. Stang.
And then do we want to add the language about no effect on third-party claims that the committee had discussed? Okay, that language, I would suggest.
Mr. Chair, couldn't that
Senator Vanderveer.
Couldn't Senator Scheid just incorporate that in her amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, he's just going to tell us what it is, but thank you, Senator Vanderveer.
Okay, this would be an amendment to the A4 amendment, adding a subdivision 5. No effect on third-party claims would be the headnote. And the language would say, nothing in this section shall be deemed to affect third-party claims or remedies for bad faith against insurers under the common law or any statute.
Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with that.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Let me ask the author of the bill what does she think of this amendment?
Senator Clark?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Senator Metzen was just asking what you thought about the language that was proposed by Mr. Stang.
Well, by
Senator Scheid.
By Senator Scheid.
Oh, Senator Scheid, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Okay.
Could you please repeat it?
Mr. Stang, can you repeat that for Senator Clark, please?
This would incorporate in Senator Scheid's A4 amendment a subdivision 5, which would state, well, the head note would be no effect on third-party claims. Nothing in this section shall be deemed to affect third-party claims or remedies for bad faith against insurers under the common law or any statute.
I'm fine with that. I do think that, assuming the rest of this amendment passes, we still have some work to do. Senator Scheid on the right to cure.
Thank you, Senator Clark. So Senator Scheid just incorporates that into our motion. Further discussion on the A4 amendment?
What did she say? She said she's comfortable.
Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Scheid, do you want to move the bill?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
I'm sorry, but I thought what we were doing was voting on that language being included, not the entire amendment. If we're voting on the entire amendment, I'd like to request a division.
Can she do that now?
Yeah. Chairman, I thought it was the entire amendment, Senator Olson.
Incorporated.
I was incorporating that.
As incorporated.
That was my understanding, the committee. It's up to the committee whether they want to reconsider
then
that.
Then I'd like to have a division.
You want a division? On the whole bill?
No, on the amendment.
On the A4 amendment.
On the A4 amendment. As incorporated. Those in favor, please raise your hand.
I don't know what I want.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 2173.
As amended.
As amended. We need a motion, actually.
I'll so.
Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 2173, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. The bill is passed. Thank you, Senator Clark.
Yeah, who knows who I am? I know you.
Senator Sparks. Yeah, yeah.
Are we done, or do we have another bill?
Are we going to try and take care of Sparks?
We're going to try to do Senator Sparks' bill, and we'll... If we hold the president here, they can't start without him, can they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Metzel is up there right now. As we
and I, my bill is up.
Senator Sparks.
Yes.
You're trying to do the count after the fact?
Got the amendment. I don't know if we need a motion.
Got to stay for Sparks.
The global warming. The no, no, no. I don't think so. I don't think so.
No. Senator Sparks, do you want to move reconsideration? I think we do need.
Yes, Senator Scheid, if we could. This was a bill that we heard last week, Senate File 162. If
we may or may not need a motion to reconsider, but why don't you do it? And
I would move to reconsider that bill then, Madam Chair.
On that motion, this is the call center bill, members. On that motion, all those in favor of the Sparks motion to reconsider, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Senator Sparks.
Again, I think committee time is rather slow. We had a long discussion about this the other day. I know, Madam Chair, that I believe you or someone else has an amendment that might make the bill a little bit more palatable. If you'd like to offer that this time, that would certainly be fine with me.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Shea.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A1 amendment, and it's the amendment that I offered.
Yeah, A2.
Excuse me, the A2 amendment. And what it does effectively deletes the B paragraph.
Subdivision 2.
Of subdivision 2. So from lines 1.21 of the bill to 1.27. And we did discuss that amendment failed the last time, but I think this makes it something that can pass.
I would agree with that, Madam Chair. I would view that as a friendly amendment. I appreciate you working with me on that.
Okay, any discussion on the Scheid amendment? The author accepts the... you want to explain the change just a little bit more?
She deletes section B.
On lines.
Subdivision 2. It was offered in committee and it failed on a tie vote, but now we're going to accept that language, deleting that section of the bill.
All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill as amended. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have a quick question. On line 1.19, that's remaining in the bill, says the customer has a right to know the identification of the state or country. Senator Sparks, why does it matter what state someone is in if it's in the United States? Why do we care what state? If the country is United States, why do we care what state, whether they're in Kansas or North Dakota or Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach, we don't, so you can certainly move to strike that.
Okay, well, then, Mr. Chair, I'll move to line 1.19.
Country.
Of the state. Strike state or, so it would read, the identification of the country. So delete the word state or on line 1.19.
You got a supporter of the bill.
Right there, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I got buy-in now.
You got a piece of the action.
Just trying to help you out.
Supporting the bill now that
just,
you...
Just trying to help you out.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
no.
Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Seeing on all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed,
no.
Motion prevails. The bill is passed. And to the floor.
Why?
Send it to rules. Forward into the.
Thank you.
Well, the rules committee, because it's late.
No, there aren't any announcements, sir. We're fine. We're adjourned.
I'll throw.
Thank